Now, this morning, we're going to go back into, again, in our teaching to above all things. We're looking into this from what came from the scripture that the Lord spoke to me one morning and said from 3 John, the second chapter. In the King James Version, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And he said, I wish above all things, if you look in the Strong's Concordance, it has in there the definition where they made the statement, I wish above all things, is translated really as I pray to God above all things. And if you look, a lot of the translations say that. So in other words, the desire that John was saying for speaking to Gaius was that he wanted him to prosper and be in health. Gaius was a man following the Spirit of God. He was helping the gospel being spread by others coming through his area. He was helping sending people on to minister the Word of God, walking by faith. So it's God's intent. God wanted him to be blessed in his life. That's God's intent. And it's amazing because he said above everything. And I mean, I hope you guys have thought about that. He said above everything. You know, you need to learn to do this, to start putting first things first. Too many people have the wrong things in the forefront, which they think is important. Now, just think, God said to Gaius, above everything, I want you to prosper, be in health. Well, shouldn't prosper with you prospering financially, prospering in your life with your family and everything, not just money, but have a good, prosperous life, moving in the right direction, doing that and being healthy should be on the top of the church's list of things. You know, too much of the church world has put what God puts as the most important. They made that the sidelines. The church has healing on the sidelines. That's something on the sideline to get. You know, it's sort of like, you know, this is what you get. And we have a fringe benefit over here, but you don't get to use it all the time. It's nice to have over there. If something serious comes along, then you can go get it. God's plan is that you stay healthy, that you don't have to run over there and get it everywhere. If you have to run over there and get it every once in a while, then what's going to happen to you is that's not on the top of the list. It's only on the top of the list when you think you need it. And it's one of the things I found out living a life of health and walking the areas of faith in this area, you're going to have to constantly stay in that area. Brother Hagin said that was especially in areas of healing, faith and healing, he said, was the number one things that he always studied and he always, for his personal life, he always studied and all the time and kept that alive inside of him all the time. See, lots of people have all kinds of other things that are in the forefront. That's what's in the forefront of things. And I figured, well, if Brother Hagin did that, it sure helped him out. It would be a good thing for Ed to probably do that. So, putting in the forefront. I made a statement, and I said last week, and we got talking about it, dealing with the declaration and manifestation. And I said, if there's no declaration, there will be no manifestation. There's no declaration. Faith is something that is declared. It's said. Without saying it, there's not going to be a manifestation if people don't have a declaration. You have to have a faith declaration. You need to have a declaration by faith. I wasn't in my notes to go here, but I just kept getting a sense this morning the Lord kept turning a thing in me and then here worship turning a thing in me. I made a statement the other week. I talked about confession in three different areas about confession dealing with faith. And where the Lord spoke to me, in fact, he talked to me yesterday about the fact of really... And I don't put this on the people. I think as in the faith teaching area, we've missed it some in some areas of emphasizing certain things properly. We haven't emphasized things right. And I mentioned about there's three different areas concerning confession. And people get it messed up. It's because there's the confession of the Word of God that we do to hear the Word of God to come to faith. See, it's number one, you need to understand this. I don't care if you can quote a scripture. That does not mean you have a revelation of that scripture. You need to confess and say, and I many times read scriptures out loud to myself. I confess them out loud till I really see what it says. Many times people call making a confession of faith and they have never made a confession of faith. A confession of faith is this. You believe it in your heart and have no doubt. Until you can do that, anything you say is not a confession of faith. It's not a faith confession. Many people are confessing the word, but they haven't done it by faith yet. They haven't got the revelation of what the scripture says. Let me use an illustration. This is one that I grabbed a hold of and I got when I first got born again. I read Kenneth Hagin's book in a letter and a tape, but he had one book he was talking about how he was raised off the deathbed as a young boy. So this is one of the first things I ever read, and I got this revelation back when I first got born again, which is hugely helpful, but I don't think there's a lot of even faith teachers got this revelation yet, if they would listen. Kenneth Hagin was using Mark 11:24. He saw in Mark 11:24 that there was healing for him. And he tried to get ministers to come to his house, and nobody would really agree with him on any of the things that was around him. And this is one of the things I got a hold of, is that a 15-year-old boy can believe God with nobody around to teach him on the subject, and it would be just a darn shame if Ed Gibson at my age is 30 years old when I started off and I can't believe God, dear Lord. I think I'll let a 15-year-old boy outdo me. Dear Lord. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, childlike faith. Children can just believe. I can believe as good as any kid. You keep getting that stuff on your mouth, you're going to keep yourself in unbelief. That's where you're going to stay. Don't you talk that nonsense. And spiritually, you're a child when you talk like that. So you qualify to believe easy. You talk that childish stuff. Don't talk that nonsense. Ain't no kid can believe better than Ed. Believing's a choice. What you say when a kid can believe? Well, kids are a lot smarter than we are. I'm a dummy. You know, I can't believe. I can't make the choice. I can make the choice. I choose to believe. But anyhow, Kenneth Hagin could quote Mark 11:24. He knew it, and he. But, you know, he didn't have a full revelation on it. And this was the interesting part. This is a revelation that I got. He says how he spoke to the Lord. See, he believed that God would heal him. But he did not have the revelation. He didn't understand. Even though he was quoting it in the scripture, he had never believed he had received it when he prayed. And he said this to the Lord. He's on a deathbed, folks. And this young boy says he has paralysis. He's paralysis, you know. He's laid in a bed. He can't get up himself and walk or do anything like that. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I believe you'll heal me. In other words, he is believing, well, Lord, I believe you'll heal me. He said, now, if you, Lord, you said I wasn't believing it. He said, even if you said you were going to cut my head off, he said, I wouldn't change what I said. I know, I believe that you'll heal me. And the Lord spoke to him when he said that. He said, yes, you believe as far as you know. See, it wasn't, actually, Kenneth Hagin had been for months and months on end reading that scripture, saying what he believed that scripture, but he had never had a revelation of that scripture. He was saying it, quoting it, saying he believed. And he did believe it to a point. But the Lord took him down and showed him where the scripture said. The Lord told him then, what does it say you're supposed to do? And he said, oh, believe I receive it. He had never seen that before. Yet he was quoting that scripture constantly. This one thing. I know, over the years, I have worked with people sometime for years and years on end and could never get them to the point where they believe they could receive it. They could never see it. And I realized what it was due. I was convinced of it, but they weren't. They never spent the time. They thought they knew what that scripture says. They wouldn't humble themselves to it. They did. Well, I know what it says, so see, I don't need to be taught. If they would have taken more time and just spent time and spent time on that scripture, they would have got a revelation and would have got healed and never did get healed. They never got healed. Other people have had to do their funerals. They never get never get a hold of it. Is the whole thing is you got to, it doesn't matter what you think you know, you need a revelation of what the scripture says. And that day is when he ended up getting out of the bed. He said, oh, I see it now. I have never believed I received it. He said, right now, Lord, I believe I receive healing. He said, for my deformed heart, and he had a number of different things. And he said, I believe I receive healing. He said, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And now he's going to get another revelation from the Lord. Now look, he has gotten a revelation now that he was supposed to believe. And the Lord said to him then and spoke to him and said, yes, now you believe. Now you believe. Up till that time, he was not in faith. He was up in faith as far as he thought, as far as he understood. But he hadn't had a revelation of that scripture. I've met people who really thought they were in faith. They thought for sure they were in faith. But their faith wasn't in line with what the Bible revelation on faith. Most Christians, 99% of Christians, do not have a revelation of Mark 11:24. Most of them are trying to get healed, trying to get this from God, trying to have this, trying to do that, and never receive anything. They don't ever believe they receive it. They're always trying to get it. That's the way most people think. That's how faith works. And they talk about believing God when they have never believed God. Never. According to Scripture, they've never believed. They've never stopped and said, you know, this thing's going along and ain't working. Why ain't this thing working? No, they keep insisting they're in faith. If I keep insisting that I'm in faith, I should have a change. I learned this as a baby Christian from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, if you're believing God and going on and nothing ever changes, he said, you need to check. He said, it's a good chance you ain't standing in faith. I know over the years I've found out. Sometimes everything don't change right away, but I'll tell you, once you set faith in motion, things start changing. Number one, you come to peace. You come to rest. If you ain't at peace, at rest, that's the first stop on the road. If you haven't got there, then you haven't got to faith yet. You have to understand these things. These are the primary simple things that the Word teaches. The children of Israel, they couldn't enter God's rest. Why? In unbelief. If I'm not at rest over the thing, I know this. It's an unbelief. Been there, done that. You got to know, be able to know, to talk to yourself. You need to know where you're standing. I can't tell you where you stand. You have to know that. And I learned this. Many times I can't, even though I know where a person's standing, most of the time they won't listen to me on it. People, you have to find out for yourself. You got to turn around. If you can't judge yourself on the thing, you're going to have a hard time dealing with things of whether or not you're seeing things right or not. You must be able to deal with you. You have to know where you stand. You have to know whether it's working or not. And this is dealing in the areas of faith. Well, Kenneth Hagin did this then. So the Lord said to him, he says, now you're in faith. Ha ha, you're in faith. And then he said this to him. Now this is a 15-year-old boy. He says this too. Well, if you believe you received your healing, he said at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 10 o'clock in the morning, should you be in bed? Now see, I got these revelations when I was a baby Christian. I can't believe people get 20, 30 years into this thing and they still don't get it. And he said, if you believe you received it, then you need to get out of bed. It's a wonderful revelation there. See, this is one of the things. If you don't come to the... See, when he believed he received it, he had it. Then he believed he could do that. This is one of the things is that I know when people, look, I can tell when people are in faith. The Bible says Jesus could see their faith. Ed Gibson ain't some ignoramus. I have the mind of Christ. I can see it. And I can see when Ed's in faith or when he ain't. I know how to fake it. There's times that I thought you're standing in faith. I've had the Lord tell me already. He said, you ain't going to get nowhere doing it the way you're doing it. He said, you know what to do in this thing. You say, yes, sir, I know exactly what I need to do. I can act like I'm in faith, but I know what I have to do to be in faith. It requires something. And I found out over the years, I mean, Lord had to teach me. So Kenneth Hagin, I mean, here's a guy, young boy. He turns around and starts dragging. He said, pulls himself, gets himself up and pulls himself up and finally gets his legs out of the bed, pulls him, holding on the bedpost, pulls himself out and stands up. Pulls him out and stands up. Why? Because God told him, if you believe this, you got to do something. If a 15-year-old boy needed to do it, what do we need to do? See, today, people talk about believing, but they've never entered into rest, and because they never went to rest, they ain't going to act to do anything. There's one thing that'll drive you when you're not in rest, is going to be fear. Well, what if I try to get up and I fall and I hurt myself? What if that's all that stuff will go on? What if I do this? What if I do that and then this happens? What the doctor said, I ain't supposed to do that. Folks, it's good preaching. This is not some far out stuff. This is the way faith works. This is what I've been doing ever since I've been born again. As you get out here, you know, the devil said you can't go that way. That's the way I pick. I learned it over time. If you're going to succeed, you're going to have to pick the way you go. And faith is not an easy road for the flesh. It has been taught it is, but it is not. Faith is a hard road to the flesh. And let me tell you, Christians will stand in your way to try to keep you from walking there. They're telling you, you're going too far. You're just out there. You're weird. Hey, it's been said so often, I agree with them, I'm weird. And really, to what society runs in, I'm weird. I'm not the norm. And if you're walking and learning to live by faith, you're weird. Get over it. I agree with them. Yes, I'm weird. To society, I'm weird. I can understand they think I'm strange. I know they think I'm weird what I preach. I know that. And I am. Compared to them, what I'm doing is weird. But it's the truth. There's one thing. I've proved it out over the years. It works. It absolutely works. I had the Lord tell me I had to get out of bed one night. I had to get out. Boy, I sure didn't feel like getting out. My body was yelling at me that that was not the thing to do. And the Lord said, if you believe me, do you believe that? Well, then you got to act like it. My flesh said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it out there. I didn't want to do it. But my flesh was real happy after I did it. After about 45 minutes, my body was completely well. Then the flesh was like, oh, isn't this wonderful? But the flesh will fight you all along the way to go against it, to go against what it don't want to do. I don't want to feel worse. I don't want to get out of bed and feel worse. I don't want to go out. I know if I get out of bed, I'm going to be in more pain. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Because if I believe, you know, if I believe I received my healing, it's one of these other things, then I can go ahead and do it. Well, if I don't believe I can do it, well, then I still believe I have the problem. And so I'm going to have to keep walking in that thing. And we have to. You're going to have to come to the place where you believe. You know, we were teaching on the woman with the issue of blood. She really went against everything that society says. She went against it all. She went against everything to receive it, to get what she wanted from God. So she went against, and you're going to find, you're always going to end up being going against the grain. You're going to have to do that. You're going to end up pushing against the grain, and it is, because society sets its rules on how things can be done, how things are. Society sets those rules. Number one, you're going to have to know where you are in your faith. Somebody can't do it. You're going to have to come to a place where you make a declaration of faith. You come to the place where you got a revelation. Kenneth Hagin got a revelation. And then when he made his statement, his declaration of faith was not made till the day that he was actually healed. It wasn't made till that day. That was the first time that he had ever spoken in faith concerning healing. He made a declaration that day and said, I believe I receive my healing. There was the first time that he was in faith with God's word. It was the first day he ever had a revelation. He had a partial revelation, but he didn't know how that scripture worked completely. And he had to know how that scripture worked completely before it would work. And understand this, God carried him to another revelation, and that was the revelation to do what the word says, not just to believe what the word says. But the whole thing of it is, then came the manifestation. So the manifestation did follow the declaration. First there was a declaration. And it was the first time he declared it. You need to know that. Where we're declaring something to we're doing it in faith. That changes everything. Once I know that I'm in a place of faith about something, then I can turn around and sit and make the declaration. Many times I confess things over and over again, and I'm not making a confession of faith. I'm making a confession, getting it into myself and building myself on the end time till I'm ready to release that thing for faith. So you need to understand in doing that, or at least it's sort of like charging a battery. You know, you can charge it up a little bit, or you can charge the thing the whole way. And it's, you just wait, you know, as most people never charge it up the whole thing. You need to have the revelation. And when you read the revelation, charge that revelation up till you're ready to release it in a statement of faith when you are ready to act on it. When God can lead you to act. If he can't lead you to act, then it would do you no good to say it. It doesn't do any good to speak it. Doesn't do any good to speak what I'm not going to live like it's true. See, when I believe I receive something, then there's going to be things that's going to change how I'm going to react to stuff. I'm going to change. You know, it's just I've learned on it. I believe I receive money from God. When I believe I received it, I could, my whole attitude changes about giving. If God turns around and asks me to give the money that I got, it ain't some hard thing to do. Why? Because I believe I've received money already. See, when you turn around and still hanging on to it, it's because you've never believed you received it. So you'll hang on to what you got till that other stuff comes that you haven't believed yet you were going to get it. You'll believe it when it shows up. You'll believe it when you got in your pocket. There you go. We'll call that faith, okay? We'll just do that. But folks, it's not. See, if I believe I received something, and I've always had this happen, especially if I'm doing something on the big side. Once I believe I receive it, God will ask me to start giving some money away. He'll start talking to me about moving the stuff I got. He'll always start talking to me about that. That'll always start coming up inside of me. Okay, let's move. Why? Actions of my faith. I'm believing now. I'm acting like I've received this other money. It's coming. I ain't going to have to be afraid I don't have enough. Hallelujah. I can give. Folks, that's one of the most joyous places to live. My flesh used to really hate that and bug me, but I found out, the real Ed found out, that was the glorious place to live. That was the place, man, where I wasn't afraid no more. I didn't have fear anymore. The place you live over there trying to hold on, that's all the place of faith, of fear. That ain't the place of faith. Holding on is that place. Well, what if I don't have enough? What if we don't get enough? Man, look at my bank account. Man, it's getting down. Man, it dropped a whole bunch. I mean, we were give this, give that. I don't see anything coming. I don't care if I can't see it coming. I believe it's mine. I have it. Hallelujah. That's what keeps it. And that's where the confession that you make after you believe you receive it, then you thank God it belongs to you. And that's all you ever talk about it. And you never go up to somebody and say, I'm believing and praying, because if you did that, you just spoke unbelief. What would you be praying for what you believe you already received? You ain't got no need to pray for it. That's good religious talk to kill your faith. That's what religious people teach people to do. And we have all these little shenanigans that we say that we think are faith that do nothing but kill our faith. It kills it. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Once I believe I've got it, we ain't doing no more praying about that thing. I'm not going that way. There's only going to be one thing on Ed's voice. Thank God I got it. It belongs to me. Thank you, Lord, you gave it to me. Hallelujah. It's mine. I don't care if I see none of it going. Don't look like it ain't happened. Ed's a smiling like it belongs to him. Hallelujah. That's faith. Your actions must correspond with what you say you believe. And see, I'm telling you what, this is faith. I'm going to tell you. See, people talk like childlike faith. Well, that's what a 15-year-old boy did it. I tell you, it ain't hard to do. It's just we've had so much training in letting our flesh control and dominate. We say it's hard. It ain't hard. You just got to learn to slap your flesh in. Apostle Paul was talking and used the terms of boxing concerning his flesh. In other words, he beat his flesh into control. You're going to have to slap the thing down. I'm just going to tell you, you treat your flesh too nice. That's 90% of your faith problem. That'll be 90% of your faith problem is treating your flesh too nice. Treat it like it is, a dead piece of dirt. It's dead in sin, and if you keep following it, you don't get nothing. You know, I learned that. Like me, I said, flesh, shut up. The real Ed's telling you to shut up. My flesh ain't the real Ed. This sucker, they're going to stay. If Jesus don't return, they're going to stick it in the grave because it ain't nothing but a piece of dead meat. And they're going to stuff it in a box, maybe. I don't know. Maybe the dogs will drag it off. I don't know. But anyhow, while I'm here, it's the inner man that'll keep this thing alive, not my flesh. And I need to understand this. My flesh will work in opposition for what it's good for, what will work even good for it. It'll work in opposition. So don't be afraid to give your flesh a hard time. We always want to get it. I've learned over the years, I got to watch how I treat my flesh. I need to understand that my flesh is dead in sin. It's not regenerated. The inner man is. Your inner man's born again. That's where the life of God is at. It's in the inside. And we use our faith, and we use our faith to do things to this outer man. But this outer man won't always want to cooperate to even what's good for it. They don't want to cooperate with it. Hallelujah. You use your faith. Well, the will of your own faith will just drive this man on the outside till he learns to shut up. And that's where you want to go. You want to go to that place to bring him under control. I want you to go to Matthew 8 today. I want to share with you concerning because of healing. We need to get over any areas concerning healing. All that stuff in the beginning, that was free, but it's good. We need to get back down to basic things to understand where you're at. You need a revelation of the Word of God. This is why we're teaching on these things, going right to the Word. You need a revelation of what God's Word says so you can act in faith. Until you get a revelation, we can think we know, but we go over things. Hallelujah. And keep going over things. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, I'm going to start verse 1. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately as that leprosy was cleansed, Jesus told him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, we want to look at this. We want to look at this individual, and we need to understand this individual came to Jesus from the standpoint he had this part of a revelation. He knew, in other words, he knew that Jesus could heal him. He knew that he could. But he wasn't getting healed because he knew Jesus could. He wasn't getting healed. He understood this, that he had to find out whether Jesus was willing to do it. He knew this. How he ever came to the point of the revelation that he had, I don't know, but he had a part revelation. This is one of the things you need to understand about this man as a leper. It's good to study some things historically. And especially even reading your Bible. If you go back into the Old Testament, God established rules about leprosy. God established them. Not man. God did. And a leper had to stay away from everybody else. It was a whole thing because it was a contagious disease. It'll spread getting around people. So lepers had to be separated from other people. Now, there was healing for the leper from the standpoint of faith. Because God provided, there were certain sacrifices a leper could make and show himself the priest, and he said that the priest would call him clean. Those things existed. But see, I'm sure people tried it out and it didn't work because they never really believed. They thought, well, if I just go and do this, but you got to come to the place of faith. It's like anything, you got to walk by faith in it. See, just because somebody knows that God will heal or God established a way to do it doesn't mean a person's going to have it just because they follow some rules and regulations. They have to believe without any doubting that this thing's going to work when they do it, that it will work. But this individual was separated. Now, being separated, he is not allowed to go into groups and things like that. So as number one, I doubt very much if he was at any of Jesus's, you know, teaching sessions himself. So he can only go by what he heard. Because, see, he's not allowed around people. He's not allowed to be there. So, I mean, when the crowds are going and that stuff to teach it, he ain't in the crowd to listen to Jesus teach. He wasn't at the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't at none of those places. He can't go there. He's not allowed to be in this. So he's limited on what he hears. Now, what he heard. Now, they ran their leper colonies, really, from the standpoint, people who had leprosy usually lived together in a place. Family members would bring food and stuff to them. They would take it to a place and sit it, and then they'd go way far away, and the person would come and get the stuff and things like that, and they would talk at a distance away, probably as far as from here to where Mond and them are at the table back there, probably away from each other. That's how you talked. And I'm sure somebody probably told him about this healing. I'm sure that was a talk of things about this healing and that stuff. He was convinced that Jesus could heal him from what he heard. But he, and I understand this, this man's smart enough to know he ain't got it all. He knew that Jesus could do it, but he knew he had to find out if Jesus was willing to do it. This is what he needed to find. This, he needed to come to that revelation. He didn't have that revelation. He knew that Jesus, you know, Jesus, he probably, other people, lepers heard. I mean, think about this. Is the Apostle John wrote in John's Gospel, where John wrote in his very last statement in John's Gospel, and John made this statement here in John 21, verse 24. It says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." He told, if we took one by one, in other words, Jesus is personally dealing with people. He did so many things that could be written in a book. Now, I want you to understand this. You need to get down this. He says the world couldn't contain it. But I want you to understand, there's a revelation that I have, and every Christian should have. I don't need to know all of what Jesus did. The Bible that I got, God gave to me and was preserved for man, has enough information of anything that I would need to know is in the book that I got. I don't need to know all that other stuff. He put the examples of the people. Just think about it. Putting the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. He said, using the principles of what she did, he said, if anybody did that, they could get any answer to their prayer if they do what she did. In other words, we wouldn't need, well, we don't need 47 other examples of all kinds of stuff. All people would have to do that. They can't even get it off of these. How on earth are they going to get 47 more? They'll just become more confused. They'll worry about what they don't even need to think about. Now, this guy here, we have this leper. God specifically wanted us to know about this guy. God specifically wanted us to know about this certain individual. It's why we got it in the book. You don't need another one. Because people in their minds have thought about things and thought about stuff to the point of unbelief and cannot walk with God by faith because they're always trying to mentally think about all kinds of things and stuff. I don't care what, you know, if the Bible says it, I don't need to sit and wonder and ponder on it other than to ponder that it's true, that what it says is true. And I don't have to know about everything about this guy and what family he came to and exactly where he sat. We can know from this standpoint that this guy had heard that Jesus could heal and he was convinced. Now, he is walking as far in faith as he can. Understand this. I remember Kenneth Hagin said it the first time I heard him say, he used to say it all the time, but the first time I heard him say it, he said, talked about God, you know, in other words, with people. He said, well, there's a hungry heart. God will always be there to try to fill that hungry heart. That's what he wants to do. We have a man here. In other words, God, this man steps out in faith as far as he can, and God is going to be right there to meet him because he has stepped out as far as he can. It's just like with Kenneth Hagin. When he stepped out as far as he understood, just to think of all the revelation stuff, that he, all that time that he had, he didn't have a revelation. But when he finally confessed the faith that he had and stepped out in it, then God gave him the further revelation that got him out of the bed and healed. See, most people never walk in the revelation they had, and they're always trying to get some more. And they don't even walk as far as they can. See, I learned this as a baby Christian, to walk as far as I can. As far as I can believe. Many times I stepped out as far as I could and I didn't have a full revelation. But the full revelation never came till I stepped out as far as I could. You don't need further revelation if you did not walk in the revelation you had. You don't need the times table if you never added. You don't need it. You know what I mean? It's when the Lord got me out of it, he asked me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? I said, yes, Lord, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. He said, well, if you really believe that, then you need to get out of bed. See, I didn't need that I didn't have that revelation till that day. And I got that revelation, came to me because I stepped on the revelation I had. And understand this, walking, this is what this man did. He walked in the revelation, he knew Jesus could heal him. And so I'm stepping out on that far. I'm going to walk out into that far. I'm going to go there that far. See, a lot of people, they ain't convinced God can heal them. There's a lot of, you'd be amazed, spirit-filled people, and say they believe in healing and that stuff. And really, they think they're all, because I've over the years tried to minister to people that say, yeah, but you just don't understand what I'm going through? And I'd say, yes, I know exactly what you're going through. Unbelief. That's what you're going through. Because you think God can't reach you. You just have this. You're convinced, the devil's got you convinced that your problem's so great, nobody can reach you. And then but you keep asking somebody to reach you. Well, you're not, haven't stepped in faith, never walked in faith yet, never walked out into, never believed God could even help you. See, this guy stepping out in faith, he knows that Jesus could do. And see, that's an important part of that. That's the point of faith where he's at. I know he can do it. So he stepped out in that. He needed to know that if Jesus Christ was willing to do it. Now, you guys heard me teach all the thing over in the areas of, you know, Jesus, what Jesus said about how he never did anything that the Father didn't do. And he only did what he saw the Father. He never said anything unless the Father said it. We can take this incident and just with total 100% surety, this is God the Father. Jesus is conveying to this individual exactly what Daddy is saying. In other words, Father God said to him, Father God said, yes, I'm willing to heal you. That came directly from Father God. If it didn't, then Jesus lied and we'll have to throw the book out. Because now we can't trust none of it. Well, I know you can trust it because I put it into practice. This thing works. So you can't convince me that Jesus wasn't saying what the Father said. I believe it because I put it to work and it works. When Ed puts this thing to work, it works. I know that. When I get a revelation of the Bible and I put it to work, it works. That's the way it works. So in other words, we can say this. God the Father said through Jesus Christ to this man, I am willing to heal you. Now Jesus don't do anything that the Father don't do. Father God personally reached out and touched a leper. You know what a huge thing that is in that day? This is the sign God will go to any extreme. God reached out through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is a human being. He ain't afraid of leprosy. God reaches out and touches the man, and the man's healed. This is God touching this man. God says, I want to heal you. This guy comes, I know you can. God settled the subject. I want to. Here you go, bud. And he didn't stand at a distance and say, okay, you're well. Okay, going to get better now. He walked over and touched him. He said, yeah, yeah. God the Father said, I'm willing to do it. Here I am. Man, you got to learn to see God like that. You got to learn to see your daddy wants to touch you. Your daddy wants to come. He only can do it. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to, he don't want to do it at a distance. He wants to come and touch you. He wants to come and touch you. You got to get that revelation. That has to become real to you. People can sit and argue all they want. Well, God doesn't always want to heal. I'm sorry. I look at these examples in the Bible and I think, what Bible do they read? But I realize these are people with no revelation and they can't get it because they stay in unbelief and will never walk in faith as far as they can, so they can never see. And even what they have will end up being taken from them. You got to walk by faith. This man stepped out. And just think about this. Here he is stepping out toward Jesus, coming close to Jesus. He believes his healing can be in sight. This is it. I'm going to find out from this guy if I get this or not. I'm going to find out. He's walking as far as he can. He's taking a big chance, but he's pushing himself out. I bet in his mind saying, thinking, you know, they're probably, his, you know, the devil's saying, you know, they're going to stone you for this. You know, you're going to end up dead along the road out here. Then they're going to take your body out and burn it. That's what's going to happen to you. You're done. He walks in faith as far as he can. God's there to meet him. God's there to touch him. God the Father said, I'm willing to heal you. I want you to know that I'm willing. See, it's not enough to know that God can do something. You got to know he wants to do it, and it's already been spoken in the book. Now, you can listen to preachers to talk you out of it. They'll talk you. You listen to people long enough, they'll talk you out of it. I'll tell you what, I believe the book. I don't care what anybody else says on the subject. God said, I will. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand this. Here's another thing. You always got to follow the word. When Jesus told him to show himself to the priest, you need to understand this. According to the law, he was not allowed to go back into public until the priest saw him and said he was cleansed. That's the law. Jesus never broke the law. Jesus never. And he told this man, don't you run around here, go telling people. Why? You don't go run out there and run among all the people till the priest says it's okay. You don't do that. Under the law, he had to go to the priest, offer a sacrifice. The priest would see him and say, okay, yep, you're cleansed of leprosy. Go back into public. God set those rules in motion, not man. Jesus wouldn't break them. Too many Christians break the rules because they set their own rules. You follow what the Bible teaches. Now today, we don't have to go through the thing to see the priest to say you're clean. We don't have to do that kind of stuff. But that was the law then. Jesus didn't break it. He told the man, you follow that. You don't run out there and run around telling everybody. You can tell everybody, once the priest calls you cleansed, you can tell them how it happened. But you don't say, run around telling people now. You do what the law requires, because he was still under the law. Jesus hadn't died on the cross. The law is still in effect. Him not doing it, he breaks the law and sins. He breaks the law and sins. Well, sin could get you sick again. Remember God at the pool? Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. Whoa. See, a lot of Christians, they sit, they read these things and they go, well, why did Jesus do that? It's because they don't study the Bible to know. You know, they go by American culture. We wouldn't do that. God established that law, the Word of God. Jesus always followed the Word of God. Now, Jesus did rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees over the fact that they made rules and called it laws. And he said, because they do that, they make the Word of God of no effect. Well, we have as much of that today in Christianity. There's all kind of rules and regulations thrown out there in Christianity. It ain't what the Word teaches. And it makes the Word of God of no effect. And understand this, you as an individual can make the Word of God of no effect in your life by adding your own ideas. You can do that. Where God wants to bless us and help us, but through what we do, it causes problems. Now, I want to read on here, because the Lord told me to go to Matthew. The Lord has spoke to me and told me to talk about this gentleman, and then said about talking about the centurion. We used his example a few times. We want to read about it. But he told me to use these two examples here, he showed me in Matthew 8, and I went to Matthew 8, and I said, oh, they're tied together right here, the two of them. Well, that's pretty good. God's pretty smart. My words, he knows the Bible better than Ed. Hallelujah. What do you think of that? Hallelujah. My. Well, in Matthew 8, verse 5 says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a certain centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to the servant, do this, and he does it. Now, we'll stop there. Now, I want you to see something. It's number one, this Roman centurion, he would be like a captain in an army today. He would be like a captain. It would be his position. And he has these men under him. But what we want to get is we can look at these different things, and we do. We emphasize the fact that he says you only have to say a word. In other words, this man understood something, but we need to understand the law that he understood. There's a principle. If you don't understand the principle, you can know the story and quote the story, because we do things like teach. I know Kenneth Hagin, you know, he would teach, you know, on spiritual authority and stuff like that, the authority of the believer, they would do. Which one thing is, I realize that many Christians, and what Christians become in the idea of questioning things, because it isn't a matter that you have authority. The matter is whose authority are you under? Understand this always about authority. Authority in the earth is not, as we would, I want to use this so you can understand, it's not just inherent in each individual in the same way. You know, we know that God, the Bible says, has set nations. He's set up governments. The Bible says he did it. He's a guy that did this. We don't like having governments and stuff. I know lots of Christians, oh, you should have all this government and stuff, things like that. I'm sorry, you're rebelling against God. God established this stuff. The Bible says so. I mean, I ain't going to argue the point. I don't care if I don't like the government. I think they're a bunch of idiots. Number one, I got to watch how I rebel against. Most Christians have a problem with the Bible and walking by faith is because they're constantly in rebellion to authority. And you need to understand this. Our authority isn't based on what authority we're under. Your authority. Now, we would say it in natural life and things around. People have authority when you're on the job. You have authority based on whomever is over you. So if you have somebody over you, in other words, on your job, your authority on your job is founded in whoever, how much authority that individual has over you. Like, say, when I worked at Reese's, we had, you know, with different levels of management. Now, each level had a certain amount of authority that they passed down. Now, there was always somebody who had higher authority. But everybody's authority, in other words, a guy, if I took my personal supervisor over me, he would delegate certain things to me. So, but he couldn't delegate to me beyond what his authority was. He couldn't delegate beyond that. You need to understand that, because if you don't, you'll never understand Jesus and the authority you have on earth. Most Christians don't understand. They don't. This is one thing. We have most of Christianity, they don't preach divine healing. They don't preach this stuff. The reason they don't is because they don't know Jesus. They don't understand the authority he has and his delegation of it. Therefore, they don't understand the authority that they're under. This man had a revelation. And why did he have a revelation? Any society that has a good disciplined society, which we don't have in the United States, they understand and get this stuff. I go to other countries and I can talk to people about this kind of stuff, and man, they're all over the Americans. They can hook up to things in faith that Americans just trip over all the time. Because Americans always think they're free and they don't have to submit to authority. And what happens is, their lack of submission to the authority of Jesus, they really don't know what their authority is. We write it in books, but it's where your authority comes from. It's a confidence that you have in the one who's in authority over you. You need to understand that. That's why Kenneth Hagin did so much teaching on, he had like the books like The Name of Jesus. It taught the authority of that name. Jesus said, in my name, you'll do these different things. In my name, you'll cast out demons. Over the years, I know that most of Christianity don't believe they're going to cast out demons. I know this for a fact because I'd have people come and ask me, I have ministers come and ask me to go to cast a demon out of somebody. Well, they got the same authority that I got, but they don't ever use it because they don't know the authority that they're under. That's why they don't. So they don't know the authority they're under. They really don't know what they can do. They don't know his authority. Now think about Jesus Christ. I want you to get this. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. Now when Jesus is talking to this centurion, at that period of time, he is anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, according to Acts 10:38, to heal all that are oppressed of the devil because God's with him. I'm going to tell you, our Jesus has more authority than that today. Our Jesus today has, because since he's been raised from the dead, he has all authority in heaven and earth. And this is why I can say clearly, without any problem, the majority of the problems in the earth today going on is because Christianity has no clue who and what they are. They don't know who they're under authority to. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he delegated that authority to the people. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you're going to loose in heaven. And the church is sitting back and waiting for Jesus to fix things, and has not walked in their authority. This man understood authority. He understood his position, who was in authority over him. See, he's in the military. There's one thing that says, I tell you, I feel bad for people who weren't in the military. Because you don't understand chain of command, and you don't really understand. There's things you're going to lack in understanding about discipline and authority. See, as in the military, your leader never did your job. Never. He didn't pat you and have to listen to you whine all the time like supervisors and stuff do here in plants and here. Make you feel, oh, you're whining and oh, they did this. And whining. I didn't do that. They didn't come and pat you. Get out of line, they slapped you. Oh, Lord, we ought to have some more of that. Hallelujah. We could use it. It's because you learn the discipline. You learn the discipline concerning authority and how it works. Because why? It's to your advantage. It's always to your advantage. If you understand what you can do and how far you can go, it always works to your advantage. It'll work for you. And that's what it's there for. It's so you can accomplish the things that you're supposed to be doing. It's so you can do it. See, God has set up a system, and God has set this system up, and the system is here in this earth of being under that authority. If I'm under that authority, then I know where the distances I can go. I know what I can do. It's just like anybody that turns around and teaches that God don't heal today. It's because they don't believe in this authority thing. They don't believe. They don't have the revelation that a centurion who was a Gentile, who wasn't even under the covenant. And Jesus said about this guy that he had not seen as great a faith in all Israel. Why? Because the Jews, who were the believers of their day, were the really rebellious. They were always rebelled against everybody who was over them. Sound like America today. Oh, we're free. No, we aren't. We're bound. You have to have this revelation. This man understood something. He had this, and get this revelation. And Jesus commended him of this wonderful revelation because his revelation was, look, I have men. He stated, I'm a man under authority. He did not say, I'm a man in authority. Yet he was a man in authority. But see, he understood that his authority was established. He could tell a guy to go and tell a guy to go do something, and he had to do it. It's because of the authority he was under. Authority is no good if there's the person who has given you the authority doesn't back it up. It's no value. I don't care what you do. I've worked for supervisors already and that stuff who never backed up their authority, what you're supposed to do, and you doing a job and it end up working against you. So what did they do? The person over you. But if you had somebody over you, I had the one supervisor I worked for as a group leader under. He's a great guy to work for because I worked for him. I knew where my authority was, what I could do, and he would back up. If I do and did my what I was supposed to do, he backed me up. He never, because somebody else complained and whined and he's trying to make everybody happy. He didn't try to make everybody happy. He tried to get his job done. Can't stand these people. They're always trying to make everybody happy. Do you think you can live like that? I'll tell you, go shoot yourself. It'd be easier to die and go to heaven than try to make people, everybody happy. Dear God. You ain't going to do that. That's why I feel so, that's why these politicians are so messed up. Trying to make everybody happy. Dear God. I don't care what the poll says. I'm going to vote on what's right, not what everybody else wants. That's why they can't stand Donald Trump. He said what he was going to do when he got into office, and he won't listen to the polls. What's wrong with this guy? He won't listen to the majority of what the Senate and the House wants to do. What's wrong with this guy? You mean he's going to be honest? Well, we can't have that. We want to get reelected. So let's kiss everybody's rear end. And that's what they're doing out here. See, we got to get away from this stupid. He's right. They're wrong. I don't care if I don't go along with him. I want him to stick to his word. We need somebody in America to do it. We need somebody to stick to their word. Dear Lord. There's one thing about him, though, is knowing it's a man's in authority. If he is in authority, then there's a good chance if you get under authority, under his authority, there's a good chance you're going to be able to do what his authority says. He's going to back you on that thing and do it. And that's what you want. See, we lack that in leadership today. We don't see that in America. That is not the norm. That's abnormal. But yet, that's supposed to be the norm. What made this guy as a captain easy to do his job was he understood the authority that was given to him, and whoever had the authority over him, he said, I can tell that guy to go do it. Why? If that guy don't do it, he's in huge trouble. I don't have to worry about it. He is a guy. Why? The guy that I'm under authority on? You know what he'll do? Put him to death. If he don't do. In their military, you broke it, you end up dead. He told you to go do something, you didn't do it. Well, there's going to be a burial fire going out there somewhere. That's what they did with him. I took around there and killed him and turned around and put him on a thing and burned. So what did he do? People did. He knew where his authority was. And he said to Jesus, I understand this principle. Why? Because, you know, I go tell a guy to go do it and he goes does it. He understood this fact. He understood about Jesus. Just from watching Jesus, he understood the authority that Jesus was under an authority. Why? Jesus was under an authority. Jesus was operating under an anointing with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good, healing all that would oppress the devil. He was under that by the Father. He recognized that this man had authority over sickness and disease, and he was a man under that authority. That authority was given to him. And he's exactly right. He understood that. Jesus was under an authority. Jesus was operating as a man under the authority of God to heal the sick. He understood. And he said, you know, you have an authority. As man under authority, you don't have to run around to everybody and you have to do it. Men in authority don't do that. You just say the word. You just speak the word. You just say it. My servant will be well. He understood that. He understood when it came to sickness and disease that Jesus was the man in authority who had an authority that was given to him to do that. And then Jesus said concerning the believer, the works that I do, you'll do also. Greater works than these. Why? It's been delegated to us. It's been delegated. Why? Jesus, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to Jesus. It's already delegated. People say, you know, I want a healing ministry. Well, you already got one. What on earth do you want one for? Have you used the one you got lately? See, people are asking for stuff. Why? It's because we don't know this. This guy said, my authority, what I operate, if I tell a guy to do something, he does it. In other words, Jesus, whatever you tell sickness to do, it's going to listen. Whatever you tell it to do. I saw you. Why? Because he said, you're a guy under authority. I can see that. You're like I am. I thought, my, what a wonderful revelation. See, that's the revelation of this whole thing, is about the authority issue. And Christians keep trying to get things from God and don't know the authority. They have no, you know. All authority. Jesus is Lord. Oh, he's Lord. Well, Lord of what? Well, we don't know, but he's Lord of something. You see, if the church had this revelation, they would have to preach divine healing. They don't have it. You go and they don't have it. They don't have the revelation about being under the authority. You want to be. Everybody in this earth is under some kind of authority. Authority lines were established by God in the church. God said in the church, number one, the man, his head was God. In other words, his place of authority, God is over him. To the woman, God's not her head. Her husband's her head. She's under her husband's authority. You want to be under your husband's authority, don't get married. But don't rebel against it. It sure won't work for you. I'm just telling you. See, America has this stuff all messed up. Americans talk about, the American church talks about believing the Bible. We don't even really understand a lot about it. And this is the simplicity of it. See, you don't understand it. It becomes very difficult to deal with the subject of faith. Because people, well, what can I do or what can I do? I don't know. So like the guy who comes and says, Lord, I know you can do it, but would you or will you? What? What's happening? What's happening? Will you? See, most people have never come to faith and are talking about walking by faith, but they've never even come to faith yet. They don't know that they're playing. They don't know their authority. They're trying to work within themselves. I don't have to work myself and figure out my authority. I know where my authority comes from. I'm under authority. And what I need to do is find out this guy that has authority that has put me here. If I know the bounds of his authority, I know what's handed to Ed. Woo! Hallelujah! I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, you just want to take a little jig. You know, you'd sit down. If you ever believed that whatever you bound on earth would be bound in heaven, whatever you loosed, I mean, you'd get a running spell if you ever believed that. Like, dear God, I don't know about you. That's like handing a hand grenade to a baby. I mean, to me, God has handed us the most explosive stuff, a power, and the church is trying to get power, trying to find power, trying to do stuff. God, I mean, to me, it's like, God, don't it seem a little insane that you would hand us such things? Mentally, it doesn't make any sense. But in my heart, I know it's true. He's already given. I'm not trying to get him to give this stuff to me. It's already mine because I'm a man under authority. It's been passed on. According to most of the church world today, nothing's been passed on. When the apostles died, it all ended. And you get saved now, and you're just trying to hang on till Jesus gets back. That's what... Nothing's passed on. In other words, we're not under authority anymore. And the church has lived like it isn't under authority. See, you want to get under, you want to be under. See, it's just like when the Lord told me and had me get under Brother Hagin. He wanted me to get under that authority and come under that authority of that teaching and come under that authority and start to yield to that authority and started to walking to that authority and let him be a ruler over me. Most Christians don't have anybody ruling over them, nothing. They're, you know, we have all this stuff today. You can listen to 47 preachers a day on television or more. You can just listen. You get enough of them, and you can listen to 50 or 60 more. People are under the authority of nothing to find out where they belong or getting teaching to find out. You can hear a lot of things that sound good, but they'll never really do much for your life. You have to understand these kinds of things. This is what makes the difference in faith, is understanding these kinds of things. This is what makes the difference. The one I'm under authority, I'm going to tell you what, when he walked in the earth, he was anointed over sickness and disease. But I'm going to tell you now, he's the God over. This same guy is all authority in heaven and in earth and under the earth. It's his. The devil can't pull none of them shenanigans. He got it all, and he reported to us in the scriptures that what he did, we're going to do. And he said, you're going to cast out devils. Now, you'll have to fast and pray all night to get it to work. And you're going to have to do this. And you're going to have to do, and then we're going to have to hold special prayer meetings. And then we're going to have to do this. And we're going to get special anointing oil. And then we'll go get this. And with that, and one day that demon will say, okay, you twisted my arm enough, I'll leave. Yep, sir. We got it down pat now. It's pushed us into unbelief. What? The word is so simple, flesh can't believe it. So people follow the flesh and say, well, that don't make any sense. How could it be that easy? Why would God give an idiot like Ed Gibson the authority to cast demons out and say in his name, they just got to go? Why would he do such a thing? 3,000 member church gives me a call and asks me to come and deal with a demon. Pastors and Rhema graduate, asked me to come down, deal with a demon. Dear God, 3,000 member church of babies with a pastor that don't know he's under authority. Let's call Ed, deal with it. Dear God. That's shameful. My words, I can get people in this church to go cast the devil out. Dear Lord. Jesus said, those who believe this gospel that these disciples are going to preach, he said, he who believes these, they're going to cast out demons. Well, the whole bunch can cast out demons. But this I know. It's not preached in his church. He doesn't preach it because he preaches a lot of nice soft messages to people to make everybody feel good. Oh, you're special. You ain't following God. The only thing you're special to is the devil. You're going to be following him. Let's get down. The special's going to leave soon. The special thing is if it'll agree with God and walk with him. That'd be special. That's what's special. Well, I want to think about it. When a person gets born again and comes into the kingdom, immediately, you are under the one, you may not know about it, but you're under the one who's given you the authority. You can cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's immediately given to each person who gets born again. Now what happens is we have to learn about it and find out, study the scriptures and find out about it's true. But see, it doesn't make a lot of sense to fleshly thinking. Why would God do that to me? Who am I? I dealt with this a long time ago. It don't matter who Ed is. He did it. It don't matter. If Jesus come and said, I want to give you $1 million, I'm not going to sit and say, well, let me figure out whether I'm worthy for this or not. That's going to be, give it to me, we'll figure all that out later. And what happens, it minimizes people's faith. The centurion had this wonderful revelation that he was under authority. He could command men to go. Jesus, he understood, he could see in Jesus what Jesus was doing. And he said, hey man, it comes to sickness and disease. I can command these guys around. You can command sickness and disease. You can tell it and it'll obey you. He understood. He understood that he got this authority from somebody else. He was under an authority that would allow him to do that. Everybody in this earth is under an authority of God. We need to understand that. Men may rebel against it, but I'm going to tell you, one day he's going to call it into order, and the rebellious are going to be removed. And that's one of the things that Jesus himself said. Jesus did. The one who has all authority in heaven and earth. He said, men are going to come say, come, I did all this in your name and that in your name, and he's going to go say, go away, I never even knew you. Jesus said that. That wasn't one of Ed Gibson's things. Jesus made that statement. Ed Gibson didn't make that statement. Jesus did. And so, hallelujah, he has authority. Well, we found out there when Jesus, in verse 10 of Matthew 8, it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those following, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. And listen, let me just read this. He said, and I say to you, that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. He said, many are going to come from the east and the west. He's talking about people. This is the Gentiles that are going to come into the kingdom. They're going to come in the kingdom. Crazy people like you and me. But listen what he said. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, great faith? Why? Why did he say it? It's the whole context of what this was written about. They have done nothing but rebel against the authority over them. They don't know how to operate. They're listening to nobody. They're doing whatever they want. They're not under authority. God sent authority, sent the Messiah into the earth. They don't even recognize him nor know him. Why? They're rebellion. Persian magi come down and know the star is there for a king. Where did they find out that information? It's because the Jews that lived in Persia had been hauled off there. They knew about that stuff. They told them, they believed it, and the Jews don't believe it. They get down there and ask, well, where's this king at? Herod, who is an ugly scumbag, had all the children, little kids, killed in Bethlehem because he believed it. A pagan scumbag. But where are the Jews? Where are the Jews? Where are the scribes, the Pharisees, all this? They knew exactly where the Messiah was going to be born, but didn't believe it. Didn't believe it. Praise God. You and I are going to get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Do you know that? And many of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants will not. Will be lost for eternity. Why? Religion. They became religious. People are religious today. Even in the church world, loads of religion. Loads of people go to church. There's people who go to church every Sunday and other night stuff, have never been born again. They follow religious teaching, think they're all right, think they're good. And they're not. And it's based on this thing about of authority. And this is why when men submit to authority, I'll tell you what, God can go places. In verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. What did he say? Like you believe. No, Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? As I want to do this. He said, as you believe, as your faith. Jesus said here again, remember we talked about last week, Jesus is following his faith. He followed the faith of the woman with the issue of blood. He followed the faith of Jairus. He also is following the faith of the centurion. He's following his faith. He's saying, okay, like you believe, his servant was healed that same hour. His servant, see, what is it? He followed his faith. Now, what he marveled at, he said, I've been in Israel and haven't found anything. It'd be like saying, this would be like Jesus saying, you know what? I ain't ever heard anybody in the church ever believe like this guy. This guy has great faith. This is great faith. Great faith is founded in understanding your lines and the bounds of authority. That's where great faith, we need to understand. That's great faith. If people don't understand the lines and the bounds of authority, you'll never arise to great faith. It will never happen. You have to know how far you can go. You can know what's yours. It's just like he understood this Jesus could deal. He could tell sickness to go and it would go. It has to. He understood that under being a man under authority, have authority, he didn't have to run everywhere to do this. Jesus, now this one thing you see is Jesus is operating a man, because when the guy came and said it, he said, I'll come and do that. Jesus didn't know right away. They act like Jesus knew everything about everybody. No, he didn't, or he wasn't a man. Jesus said, look, I'm going to come down there and I'll go with you and we'll go heal the guy. And he said, no, hold it. I want to tell you the revelation I got. And Jesus goes, oh, my Lord. Now, this is one of the principles. Another principle we may go over and talk about, another principle you're going to find out of great faith is persistence. Is you won't let the word of God alone. When you're standing on it, man, I'll tell you what, you ain't going to let anything move you off of it. And we took the woman. It was another Gentile. wanted a demon cast out of her daughter. And Jesus basically told her, you're not in the covenant. Just like this Gentile wasn't in the covenant, but knew more about covenant than the Jew did. He understood authority. He understood the lines of authority, and he stood in it. We have a woman who comes along, and she is operating over in an area, and Jesus tells her, you ain't in the covenant. This is for the homeboys. This healing, what you want ain't for you. She ain't letting it alone. She's going to get it. Oh, my. And that's what you're going to find out when it comes to faith. If you don't have faith, don't do those things. If you don't get persistent, there's things you're just never going to step into. You're never going to know. You got to get yourself over there. I ain't moving off of this no matter what. I'm going to go after this thing, and I'm going to have it. And I'll tell you what, you'll have it. There's things if you don't push into, they won't happen. You got to force into it. Jesus said about the kingdom, the violent take it by force. Now, he wasn't talking about people just out fighting. These people, they get violent. I'm going to have the word of God. I'm going to have what it says. I ain't going to play this nice little quiet church thing. I ain't going to play this last little thing where we come and just fold our hands and go, ooh, ooh, and do our little thing and run out the door and then act like, man, I'm after, if the word don't work, I'm going to go do something else. I'm after this thing till I have it. If the Bible said something to belong to me, we ain't letting it alone till we get it. There's times that I've talked to God to concern things. Things didn't change. I said, Lord, your word says this about that, and it better be getting done. Because if it don't get done, it makes you a liar. And I've told the Lord already, I ain't going to tell the people you're a nice guy when you aren't. I ain't going to tell them you're really great when you don't do great. I wouldn't do that. Why? He wouldn't go tell it about me. But see, people, you talk like that to God. Well, who are you? Well, if he ain't going to back his word, and I'm doing that for my faith, I know he's going to back it. I just tell him, I know, I expect you to do it. He gets happy. He gets happy when somebody expects, I know he's going to do it. Why? He should be telling people that we should go tell about his goodness when he ain't doing good. Ain't that stupid? I was born and raised in a home. Oh, they were always talking about God with being good, and he's loving, and all this kind of stuff. And we didn't ever have nothing much good happen. And I was smart enough as a kid that knowing that stuff was crazy. It's like, he ain't what they say. I think, my God, they got to lie for the guy. They got to go lying for him. He's good. Well, wouldn't we see it in performance? I don't care how God is good in the book. If I can't have the same amount of goodness in this life right here now, keep the book. Those words are no good unless those words operate today. Unless we can have it today. And like I said, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He has all authority, heaven and earth and under the earth. Man, I'm going to tell you what. The book is what he said. All the promises are yes and amen. All. Just as he told that guy, he said, you willing to him? Yeah. And then he turns around and put, all the promises are already yes. If anybody tells me that maybe something ain't for me, I can look him in the face and say, you know, you're a liar. You're lying about the word, because then all the promises wouldn't be yes and amen. And that makes it a lie. And once I find a lie, then what do I believe that's true? What do I believe? See, every time you make an excuse about the Bible, you're setting yourself up for failure. I've learned this. If Ed can't walk in a promise, there's something wrong with Ed. Because the promise is yes. So the promise don't need fixed. Ed needs fixed. And he does. Please. Fixed. But folks, we need to get back about this boldness about the Word of God. Come back to the place. God said and called you to do, you can do it. You can walk in it. You can have it today. It's yours. It's not somebody else's. He called it to you. The one that you have over you, that you're under the authority of, my God, he's made us almost limitless down here. My words, it's almost phenomenal. And I want to tell you what, the best of us has only ever touched into a little bit of it. The best of us. And we've been sitting around. People say, I'm waiting on God. He's been waiting to give us revelation. He's waiting for us to step out on the faith to what we know. It doesn't matter what you believe he can do. It's what you believe he will do that makes the difference. I don't matter how much you believe he can do. That's no sign you'll ever see anything. It's what he will do. And when that man found out that he will heal him, changed everything, didn't it? Changed everything. Changed everything. And I'm going to tell you what, he's looking at you today and he's saying, I will. Maybe you don't need healing, you need something else. But he's saying, I will. It's like, you know, maybe you need money, maybe you need something else. I will. He's willing to fix and work in anything. He's willing to, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's waiting for the church to step out. He's waiting the church to for two agree as but touching anything they ask, it shall be done. Just think about it. That's anything we ask, it will be done. And every time I've ever heard that get preached by most preachers, they start putting buts and this in there, and maybe, well, you know, you can't take, well, don't, you can't go too far. You can't. I don't believe nobody ever went far enough with any of that stuff. I never met anybody that even went even a quarter of the way. It's like, because we sit down, and what happens? They let the flesh come in, and the flesh starts to rule in the thinking. So what it does, it keeps you doing. You never really walk out in faith as far as you can, and he can't give us the revelation he would like to about this stuff. He wants to give us revelations of things if we'll walk out as far as we can. I have never met a person that walked in far as a revelation can that God didn't give them another revelation. But I have watched many people lose even the revelations they have because they never walk out in the revelation they got. Never walk. And eventually, it's gone. Eventually, they're not even believing or even walking toward that. I'm going to get out in it. Why? I need to know more. I need to be able to believe him, trust him more to be able to do things he wants to do. Hallelujah. He wants to do, he wants to reveal his glory through the church. That's what he wants to do. His glory, not just some nice things, his glory. He wants days of heaven in the earth. He wants people to see what heaven is like, not have to go to heaven to figure out what it's all like. He wants people to experience the glory right here, in this place, here, in this town, here in your town, in wherever you're. He wants that right now. He wants that in the earth. And it's not going to be found by us. Just sort of said, well, he'll do what he has to do. It's God, you know. He's just down there. If he wants to do it. Oh, yes. And in his time. Oh, yes. Well, this stuff is never even written in a book. You can't even find it there. And they preach it. They preach it like it's gospel. And all it does is do what exactly Jesus said. It makes the word of God of no effect. What he has said, it destroys it. We're not going to let that happen, are we? We ain't going to buy this thing, man. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're people today under authority. You're a people under authority. Think about the one that you're under authority to. Think about it. Think about the one that you're under authority. When you accepted Jesus, you stepped under an authority. I want you to just, my words, get it over in your mind. All authority, all. Just think about all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. All authority, every bit of it. All authority. And you, through faith in Christ, stepped under that authority. You, through faith in Christ, that's the authority that you're under today. Now, when Jesus left and also sent the disciples out to teach, which we got letters, they teach us all these things about this authority of what we can do, who and what we are. Not one statement ever said, when the last apostle will die, this stuff will end. But it's preached and believed in a lot of the church world. Loads of them. They believe that. Loads of them believe, you know, we don't do this stuff anymore. We don't do those kinds of things anymore. No, those things are gone. So the authority of Jesus is really nothing to be under. He doesn't even have, when there's no longer even authority. If he has authority over sickness and he didn't pass it on. I read the book, he did. He passed it on. But they say, no, that was them back there. That was for the apostles. I always like it when they tell me that and I say, well, why did he say that he who believes? I said, did you believe the gospel that they preached? Well, yeah. Well, then it says you are the guy going to get it. They want to end conversation then. They don't want to talk about that anymore. Because, and you know why they do? They don't want further revelation. They don't want it. I don't want the revelation. I want to stay over here in my unbelief in my place we're at. They're afraid to. They're afraid to go over there. They've been brainwashed into the idea that you'll go to hell if you listen to anybody preach the Bible, what it really says. Do stay away from it. You have to go by our religion. You got to stay over here, keep the right clothes on, do the right stuff. You do all that stuff, you'll get there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be safe for you. I was born and raised around that. Everybody's gun shy. Everybody's out here. We believe the word of God till somebody brings up something in the word we don't like. That ended with the apostles. Well, that ended back then. Could you show me the scripture where it says it ends? It should have a scripture. There should be a scripture that says that we would know specifically that it ended, wouldn't it? I mean, it only makes sense. There would be a scripture that would state it. And if somebody could always say, would you please show me the scripture? They always look at you really dumb. Actually, they can't look at you any other way, but but they think, they're looking at you like, oh, you don't know this? Hallelujah. Well, if you don't know that, my God, you're a genius. Hallelujah. The word of God is true. And it's life to you. And you're under that authority today. And we know under that authority, God is willing to heal you. He's willing to deliver you. He's willing to whatever you need. Understand, you know, you need to get to think. We want to reach out, and we want to reach out and bless other people. One of the greatest ways that you can bless other people and help their faith is by allowing God to work in you and bless you, and they can see the blessing of God in you. And they can see God do things for you. That's one of the most powerful things that you can do. Because people need to not just hear about God, they need to see a God. They need to see a God. That was my big thing, was a problem with me as a young child growing up. I never saw God. They talked about God in church, but we never saw God. God never did anything. They'd sit down, you know. I mean, when they tell you God killed somebody because he needed another star in heaven, say a dumb thing. To me, I was thinking, well, I ain't lining up for that one. But to them, that was that was God's work. And I thought, man, every time I see God, it ain't good. You know, the storm came, blew the guy's barn down. Well, that was God over there blowing barns down again last night. He was out there working. Oh, yeah, he's starting fires in them now, too. So he'll soon burn your barn down. Woo! His glorious works. God had a reason for doing that. He wanted you to be pious and poor. All those crazy things that are going on out there, these boys, but they're saying, but I agree with that. Just think how many people out here. We live in a religious country, whether you realize it or not. And false doctrine has been preached in it deeply. I'm going to tell you what, there's people out here who are ready to see God. They're ready to see God. Not just hear about God. They're ready to see God. Did you ever notice any great revival that has ever taken place in the earth? There was always great manifestations of divine healing. Why? So people could see God. They could see him work. No great revival has ever taken place just by words. It's never happened. Words are needed to be preached. It brings people to faith. But just preaching, there's always demonstrations of glories. Because people need to see it to rise to a level where there is a God. There is a God. You will not see. Talk ain't going to do it. People need to see something. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God. All the things that I know, Lord, that you just did in my life alone to let me see. There was a God. Many things you did, Lord God, as I started off, it sure wasn't because I was so spiritual. It's because you wanted to show me that you were real. Lord God, we need that back in the church world again, where God becomes real to the people, to your own people. Lord God, I know you spoke a few years back and you said about, Lord, that this last day's move of God right now, what you're doing, it isn't trying to reach the world, you're trying to reach the church. You're trying to reach the church, to awaken again and breathe in the church. And I want to thank you here at this place. Father God, there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. There's a hunger and thirst for more. Lord God, a desire in. Lord God, they're after you. They want you. They want more of you, Lord God. Hallelujah. They want you to become real and manifest yourself. That's their desire, Lord God. And Father God, I want to thank you that you're working in them, Lord God, fulfilling the desires of their heart, Lord God. for this last days. Because, Lord God, we do want men and women to see. There's so many, Lord God, of people. The Lord God has been under the bondage and weight of religion, Lord God, that don't see you in your glory and your goodness. They don't see you. And, Lord God, you want to manifest that to them, to show them, Lord God. Hallelujah. The Lord God, concerning their own health, their own soundness of mind, and Lord God, their families, Lord God, that you want to touch them. You want to do something mighty. You want to do something wonderful, Lord God. Lord, you want to show them the things, Lord God, that concern them in their life. And Lord God, those are the things in your heart. It's just like, Lord God, we looked in your word this morning, the leper, and he said, I know you can do it. Oh, many people are crying, Lord God, I know you can do it, but why don't you do it? I know you can do it, but why not me, Lord God? Lord God, we want them to hear the voice that says, I will. I will. We want them to hear the voice, I will. We want to hear the voice, Lord. I'm willing, God. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to bless you. I'm willing to overflow on you. I'm willing to do glorious things, Lord God. Father, that revelation that brings man to the place of faith, hallelujah, Lord God, that we have a God who is willing, not just can, but will. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, your willingness today, your willingness today. Father, I thank you in this place. I thank you whatever need might be here, whatever person is standing for, you're willing. You told us you wanted to prosper, to be in health. Lord God, anything in dealing the areas with our lives, Father, whether it's prosperity, whether we deal with our own mind and our own thinking. Lord God, we want to, Lord, in my own thinking, I want to prosper in the way I think. I want to prosper. I just don't want to be somebody, oh boy, they're really smart. Lord God, I want a mind full of the revelation of your word, a mind, Lord God, that is full of understanding of how you do things and how you carry things out. Lord God, I want to be a participant. I don't want to be somebody watching. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be a spectator in the church, Lord God. I want to be a participant in the church, to walking in the glory that you prepared. I don't want to watch others to walk in the glory. I want to walk in it with others. Hallelujah. I want to walk in that glory that we walk together, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, that healing would just be as natural in the church as just breathing is natural in the church. That, Lord God, that health would come to Christians and we'd walk and live in that place of that revelation, Lord God, that at the word of Jesus Christ, sickness and disease has to leave. And your word has spoken it, Lord God. Your word says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. And I want to thank you. We're not going to be healed. We were healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that you healed us. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, we're healed and well. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is all working in us. Hallelujah. It's quickening and making alive our mortal bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Our bodies are being revived and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Aging is slowing down in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you. The quickening power of the Holy Spirit is greater than the physical body. And the physical body is going to have to submit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we have health and we have soundness and we have wholeness. Hallelujah. Because of the Spirit of God that's in us and has quickened us and made us alive. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. We're people under authority and we're going to use our authority. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in it. I thank you, Father God, that prosperity, financially, it's easy. It comes to us. We call financial. We call money to us in the name of Jesus. We call the things that we need to us in the name of Jesus. Devil, you have to, in the name of Jesus, bow to the church in the name of Jesus, and you get your hands off the finances of the church of Jesus Christ and the members of this body. I command you in Jesus' name, you get your hands off of their finances. You get your hands out of their pockets. In the name of Jesus, we command you to cease and desist in Jesus' name. Ministering spirits, angels, I command you in the name of Jesus to go forth and bring the finances and the things that they need in the name of Jesus Christ. It belongs to them. Hallelujah. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. The riches, the gold and the silver are His. Lord, you said so. So we call what is yours because we're under your authority. It belongs to us and we call it to us in the name of Jesus Christ. It's ours. Hallelujah. And it must come. The angels are bringing it in. Angels, thank you for bringing it in. I thank you, Lord God. It's a coming in now in the name of Jesus. The money we need is coming in now in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a working because the Word said so, and that's enough. And we sent the Word. We sent the Word, hallelujah, and the Word will heal them just like it healed that servant, hallelujah. We sent the Word concerning finances, and we sent the Word concerning healing, and it must work in the name of Jesus. It has to, hallelujah, because we're under authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's working today. The Word's working mightily in us today. Hallelujah. We're people of faith. We believe we receive things, Lord God. We believe we receive it. It's ours. We have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Money just comes to us. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing working in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're just blessed coming in and going out. We're blessed. Hallelujah. It's just as Israel was. Lord God, if they did your word and what you told them, he said all these blessings would overtake them. I thank you, Lord God, we're an overtaken people. Hallelujah. We're overtaken with the promises of God. Hallelujah. We're overtaken with the promises, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we're not trying to make this stuff work. It's a working. It's a working mightily in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for enriching us. Thank you, Lord God, for revealing the mysteries of your word and giving us revelation, Lord God. Lord God, that we can walk into greater things and even greater. Hallelujah, and greater. And Lord God, we're just going to keep stepping up. We're just going to keep stepping up into greater and greater and greater and greater revelation. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I know there's things we need to know and understand in these last days, and you're just going to keep bringing them forth. You're going to keep bringing them forth. Hallelujah. Father, Father, I know you have me teach these things and telling these things, bringing this, because Lord God, we're stepping out in the areas of faith more. We're walking out in the areas of faith. Hallelujah. So you're giving us further revelation. You're bringing it to us. Hallelujah. And Lord God, there's some maybe we've let slip over time, Lord God, but you're bringing those things back to us. You're bringing them back to us, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're bringing those wells of water back to us again to drink from those. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we're going to walk in those places again, and we're going to be refreshed in those places again as we drink. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're going to step up into those places of glory. Some of them, Lord God, that we haven't been in for a while. No, anointings, Lord God, that we have not seen for a while. Hallelujah. And anointings that men have not even had before that will come in this last day that will reveal the glory of God. The great manifestations of the Spirit will take place. Oh, your anointing in the church. Oh, marvelous and great, Lord God, that you will do to demonstrate your glory and reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As King of kings and Lord of lords and Savior of man. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Roshke brate, vonieno gedestida koyate kestun feasisenian, nun faisa, yaka badishna foronge brete isesea, lubare girmunia, befreteche. Vrindige elekasi mombregabari shtethese segolia tokushishi voskanana kalaketi shtetekoshishi. Ha ha. Yes, my word's been spoken. It's been said. My word's been spoken. Look into my word. If you will continue to steadfastly look into it, yes, revelations will come to you. Understanding will come to you. Don't be lax. Look and look deeply. Look and look deeply. Hallelujah. And when you see my words, speak my words. Put them on your lips and make them your words. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, and then you will walk and step out into places that I've called you to, and you'll walk out into those places, hallelujah, with boldness and confidence. And I will reveal myself through you. Yes, demonstrations, manifestations. These are those days. These are the days that were spoken of in the past. Yes, the glory that would come at the end. Yes, and now you're at the end. You're standing in the days of the end. These are the times, and these are the times for the glory to come forth. So step forth. Step forth. Step forth. Look into my word. Declare my word. Believe what my word says about it. Hallelujah. There are many voices saying many things, but listen not to the voices. Listen to the voice of the word, and my spirit will direct you, and my spirit will correct you, and my spirit will guide you and reveal to you my words, and you will stand up in that great boldness, and you will have a boldness of faith that you have never had before and you have never walked in. Yes, and I will raise up a people, says the Lord, in these last days that will be so bold. about my word and so bold to speak forth. It will be shaking to many. It will be disturbing to many that people would rise up and be so bold as to say things and do things. But I will hearken to their voice and manifest the things that they say and they declare, and men will know that there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.